Wendy. Give me your cloak and conceal yourself with the others.
And then Peter himself took her place by the mast, her cloak around him so that he should pass for her. Then he took a great breath and crowed. To the pirates, it was a voice crying that all the boys lay slain in the cabin. And they were panic-stricken. Hook tried to hearten them, but like the dogs he had made them, they showed him their fangs. And he knew that if he took his eyes off them now, they would leap at him.
The Doodle-Doo has killed them all?
Accursed! The ship's accursed!
Is there a woman aboard?
A woman?
A woman?
Lads!
He said, ready to cajole or strike as need be, but never quailing for an instant.
I've thought it out. There's a Jonah aboard.
Aye, a man with a hook.
Aye, it's the hook.
No, lads, no. It's the girl.
There never was luck on a pirate ship with a woman.
A woman on board?
Well said, Smee. We'll rot the ship when she's gone.
Some of them remembered that that had been a saying of Flint's.
It's worth trying.
Fling the girl overboard.
They made a rush at the figure in the cloak.
There's none that can save you now, Missy.
There's one.
Who is that?
Peter Pan, the Avenger.
Peter flung off his cloak. Then they all knew who 'twas that had been undoing them in the cabin. Twice Hook essayed to speak, and twice he failed. In that frightful moment, I think his fierce heart broke. At last he cried,
"Cleave him to the brisket."
The ship is accursed.
Down, boys, and at them.
Peter's voice rang out, and in another moment, the clash of arms was resounding through the ship. Had the pirates kept together, it is certain that they would have won. But the onset came when they were still unstrung, and they ran hither and thither, striking wildly. Each thinking himself the last survivor of the crew.
Come here, you pesky children.
Take this, you rotten pirates.
I'll have you.
Never. I'm too quick for you.
Stop right there.
Not right. Left.
Man to man, they were the stronger. But they fought on the defensive only, which enabled the boys to hunt in pairs and choose their quarry. Some of the miscreants leapt into the sea. Others hid in dark recesses, where they were found by Slightly, who did not fight, but ran about with a lantern which he flashed in their faces, so that they were half blinded and fell as an easy prey to the reeking swords of the other boys. There was little sound to be heard but the clang of weapons, an occasional screech or splash, and the voice of Slightly.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Wendy, I've killed a pirate.
Oh, it's awful, Michael. Awful.
No, it isn't. I like it. I really like it.
I think all were gone when a group of savage boys surrounded Hook, who seemed to have a charmed life, as he kept them at bay in that circle of fire. They had done for his dogs, but this man alone seemed to be a match for them all. Again and again they closed upon him, and again he hewed a clear space.
Back, you mice. Here's Hook. Do you like him?
Put me down! Nymph.
He had lifted up Nibs with his hook and was using him as a buckler when another, who had just passed his sword through Mullins, sprang into the fray.
Put up your swords, boys. This man is mine.
Thus, suddenly, Hook found himself face to face with Peter. The others drew back and formed a ring around them. For long, the two enemies looked at one another, Hook shuddering slightly, and Peter with that strange smile upon his face.
So, Pan, this is all you're doing.
I, James Hook, it is all my doing.
Proud and insolent youth, prepare to meet thy doom.
Dark and sinister man, have at thee!
Without more words, they fell to. And for a space, there was no advantage to either blade. Peter was a superb swordsman and parried with dazzling rapidity. Ever and anon, he followed up a feint with a lunge that got past his foe's defense. But his shorter reach stood him in ill stead, and he could not drive the steel home. Hook, scarcely his inferior in brilliancy, but not quite so nimble in wrist play, forced him back by the weight of his onset. Hoping suddenly to end all with a favorite thrust, taught him long ago by barbecue at Rio. But to his astonishment, he found this thrust turned aside again and again. Then he sought to close and give the quietus with his iron hook, which all this time had been pawing the air. But Peter doubled under it and, lunging fiercely, pierced him in the ribs. At the sight of his own blood, whose peculiar color, you remember, was offensive to him, the sword fell from Hook's hand, and he was at Peter's mercy.
Get him good!
No!
No!
No,
Peter!
With a magnificent gesture, Peter invited his opponent to pick up his sword. Hook did so instantly, but with a tragic feeling that Peter was showing good form. Hitherto, he had thought it was some fiend fighting him. But darker suspicions assailed him now.
Pan, who and what art thou?
I am youth. I am joy. I am a little bird that has broken out of the egg.
This, of course, was nonsense. But it was proof to the unhappy Hook that Peter did not know in the least who or what he was, which is the very pinnacle of good form.
To it again.
He fought now like a human flail, and every sweep of that terrible sword would have severed in twain any man or boy who obstructed it. But Peter fluttered round him as if the very wind it made blew him out of the danger zone. And again he darted in and pricked. Hook was fighting now without hope. That passionate breast no longer asked for life, but for one boon it craved. To see Peter show bad form before it was cold forever. Abandoning the fight, he rushed into the powder magazine and fired it.
In 2 minutes, the ship will be blown to pieces. Now, true form will show.
But Peter issued from the powder magazine with the shell in his hands and calmly flung it overboard. What sort of form was Hook himself showing? Misguided man though he was, we may be glad, without sympathizing with him, that in the end he was true to the traditions of his race. The other boys were flying around him now, flouting, scornful. And he staggered about the deck, striking up at them impotently. His mind was no longer with them. It was slouching in the playing fields of long ago, or being sent up for good, or watching the wall game from a famous wall. And his shoes were right, and his waistcoat was right, and his socks were right, and his tie was right. James Hook, thou not wholly unheroic figure, farewell, for we have come to his last moment. Seeing Peter slowly advancing upon him through the air with dagger poised, he sprang upon the bulwarks to cast himself into the sea. He did not know that the crocodile was waiting for him, for we purposely stopped the clock, that this knowledge might be spared him. A little mark of respect from us at the end. He had one last triumph, which I think we need not grudge him. As he stood on the bulwark, looking over his shoulder at Peter gliding through the air, he invited him with a gesture to use his foot. It made Peter kick instead of stab.
To Davy Jones!
At last, Hook had got the boon for which he craved.
Bad form.
He went content to the crocodile. Thus perished James Hook.
Seventeen!
Slightly sang out, but he was not quite correct in his figures. 15 paid the penalty for their crimes that night, but 2 reached the shore, Starkey and Smee. Starkey had only heaved his waterlogged body onto the shore of the island when he was met by the blades of Tiger Lily's most fierce warriors. She crouched down to look him in the eyes.
Oh, I surrender. I surrender. Leave me be.
I know your face. You once would have left me on a rock.
I don't think so. Maybe... have one of those faces.
I see you remember me also.
No. That wasn't me. That was my brother. Sturkey. Gentleman Sturkey. Yeah.
Is that so? What say you, Crocus? Shall we return the pirate to the water?
No, I think not. I have an idea.
And so Starkey was captured by the Neverlanders. And they put him to work, carrying their children around on his back. A melancholy come-down for a pirate.
No! No, anything but that. I would have preferred the water.
And Lonely Smee, the final member of the crew, who henceforth wandered about the world in his spectacles, making a precarious living by saying he was the only man that James Hook had feared.
What is a home?
Wendy, of course, had stood by, taking no part in the fight, though watching Peter with glistening eyes. But now that all was over, she became prominent again.
Oh, how bravely you fought, pets.
She praised them equally, and shuddered delightfully when Michael showed her the place where he had killed one.
Come see, Wendy.
Here I killed one.
And here we killed another one.
Ooh, he sure was an ugly one.
You killed someone. How delightfully brave you are, my boys.
Then Wendy took them into Hook's cabin and pointed to his watch, which was hanging on a nail. It said 1:30. The lateness of the hour was almost the biggest thing of all.
Oh, good heavens! It is ever so late! Oh, to bed at once, all of you! I insist!
She got them to bed in the pirates' bunks, pretty quickly, you may be sure. All but Peter, who strutted up and down on the deck, until at last he fell asleep by the side of Long Tom. He had one of his dreams that night, and cried in his sleep for a long time.
Oh, dear Peter. Hush, now. You're quite safe with me. Rest now, Peter. Rest, please.
Wendy held him tightly,